This episode brought to you by Beta Brand, the San Francisco-based source for crowdfunded clothing you can visit in person the next time you're in San Francisco, or stop by anytime online to shop bestsellers like dress pant yoga pants and now yoga jeans. And when you do, use the code SPIRIT20 to save 20% off anything on the site. But that's not the only reason we love Beta Brand. Oh no, our fandom does not stop at stretchy pants we can wear all day, no matter where we are. There are a great many other things you can do on the site, which is betabrand.com. And anyone, anytime can visit the site to vote for the new designs that will become the next product sold on betabrand.com. And there's this: when you vote and a product ends up crowdfunded into production, you get a discount. And speaking of discounts, you can always save 20% when you shop the site with the code SPIRIT20. This episode also coming at you with support from Presto by Spirit of 608. It's the low-cost alternative to traditional PR and media outreach created by me after years of covering the business side of the fashion industry and getting really frustrated at seeing so many worthy brands miss out on coverage simply because they didn't have access to an expensive PR agency and they just didn't really know the ropes. So come over to pressdope.com, check out how we are supporting Fest Brands. It's a chance to work one-on-one with me and get access to a host of other tools and resources, including our daily media tasks calendar, highly targeted media contacts, and much, much more. All for a cost that's intentionally priced to run you in an entire year what you could easily expect to spend on just 1 month of PR agency retainer fees. So come check us out at pressdope.com. And now on to the show. Spirit of 608, episode 107. You're listening to the Spirit of 608 podcast. I'm your host, Lorraine Sanders. Keep listening for stories, tips, and advice from women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. I call it FEST, and it's the future. Hey, hey, and welcome to today's show. Thrilled to have you here today with me and thrilled to be bringing a new live media strategy session episode to you today. And we had one of these previously this year, and now we're back with another one. And I absolutely love doing these episodes. I love these conversations. They're what I do behind the scenes with Prestope members and then also individual Fest founders who come to me and want to set them up. But today we have a founder who said, hey, you know, I want to come on the show and I want to do this live. And, you know, I'm willing to let everybody know kind of what I'm grappling with. And I think you're going to love hearing about her, what she's building and what she's going through. She is Dina Chavez, the founder of Sixchel, an Austin-based ethical fashion brand that's currently crowdfunding its first capsule collection. So she is really in the thick of it. We recorded this a couple of weeks back, so before her crowdfunding campaign even launched. And right now, as this goes live, she is really right there in the middle of this big effort to get her capsule collection out into the world. And as you'll hear during our conversation, this is not her first foray into fashion, but it is actually a whole new phase for her. And we'll get into why that is. It's a pretty emotional, moving story, and one that I have really been touched by in the time that I have gotten to know Dina. If you're at all involved in the Spirit of 608 community or the Prestope membership outside of the podcast, you've probably run into Dina at some point because she's one of our most active and, you know, hardworking members. She's always present in the Spirit of 608 Facebook group, encouraging others and dropping in to, you know, cheer other people on. And then she's one of the most hardworking people inside Press Dope as well. She's just at it every single day. And I've loved getting to know her. So I am just really glad to be able to bring her story to you. And then also, I hope that those of you out there who are planning your own crowdfunding campaigns in the future to launch your lines and grow your lines, because we do know that some fest founders are now using crowdfunding not just to get off the ground, but to keep growing, you know, in increments as they expand and shift and go through the different phases of their business. I'm hoping you get something out of hearing this very real life situation that Dina finds her in and what she's kind of up against when it comes to getting media and press coverage. Now, as you can tell, I'm a big fan of Dina's just on a personal level, and I really want to throw my support behind what she's doing with Sick Shell and also her Kickstarter. So there's a link in the show notes to this episode to her Kickstarter campaign. I'd encourage you to go check it out. And if you like what you see, I hope you will support her effort. Another place you will always find crowdfunding, you guessed it, our fabulous show and episode sponsor, Beta Brand. You can find them over at BETABRAND.com. They are the San Francisco-based source for crowdfunded clothing and huge supporters of female entrepreneurs. They've done various campaigns to support female entrepreneurs and businesses, female-owned businesses over the years, but every day they're supporting women who are out there in the world working hard with the clothes that they make, because they're functional clothes with a cool twist to them usually. And they're always putting new things out. And I feel like, you know, whether or not you shop, it's a cool thing to check their site out, because from the entrepreneurial standpoint, you know, people are always telling us to keep experimenting, to put stuff out there and see what the reaction is. Well, this is a brand that does that every single day. New designs hop onto the site every single day, and then people vote, and some of them, you know, don't make it, and some of them do, and some of them make it like 400%. So it's just one of those cool things that kind of reflects what I think the entrepreneurial experience is like on a pretty regular basis. You know, some of the things that have made it recently: a simple summer dress with a pretty cool octopus print, a little black dress with a built-in compression slip. It's kind of cool. It was funded to 326% of its goal. And one of the most popular items, and I can see why, is a sweatshirt travel dress. So it's basically like the most comfortable looking thing on the planet. And it has pockets, which, you know, are among my favorites. If you want to get some inspiration for keeping the experimentation going in your day-to-day, hop over to betabrand.com, BETABRAND.com. And when you do, if you're inspired to shop, don't forget, you can always use the code SPIRIT20 to save 20% off anything on the site. Speaking of trying new things, got a new thing coming at you from Press Dope by Spirit of 608. Yep, it's our July event happening in San Francisco. We finally have the details. You'll hear about them after the live media strategy session with Dina Chavez of Sick Shell. Dina, welcome to the Spirit of 608 podcast.
Hi, how are you?
I am good, and I'm excited to have you on for what is the second live media coaching strategy session episode that we're doing this year, and it's a new format for us, and I'm really excited that you are who I get to talk to today in this new format. So can you start us off by telling us where you are in the world and the name of your brand and a little bit about how your brand is different from others out there?
Okay, well, Sick Shell is based in Austin, Texas. So I am. I currently don't live in Austin, but I travel between South Texas and Austin. As far as where we are as a brand in the world, I will say this. I think that we are growing with the consumers. I think that consumers in general are beginning to become more aware of sustainable products and more aware of who is making their clothes. We're paying attention now, and we actually are concerned about our environment and fair trade for everyone, for all the garment workers. So as consumers are growing more into the eco-friendly fashion industry, Sick Shell is growing too. We're learning as we're growing. We're becoming more aware of different factories. We're made in America, so we're paying close attention to what's going on with sew shops here in the United States. And we're learning more about sustainable fabrics, and we're very excited that we're able to take this journey along with the consumer.
Well, I love that you're so flexible in your outlook. Like, you're looking at the business of building this brand as sort of a flexible journey, and not just like, here's my product and here's what I am, and I'm rigid and I'm not going to change or adapt any of that based on what I find along the way. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And I feel also that we want to pay attention to our consumer. We want them to tell us what they are looking for in styles that are not available in sustainable and eco-friendly products. It's a fairly new market. And, you know, I think we're all growing and learning at the same time. And it's very important to pay attention to what is it that we want, or that the consumer want, women in general, what are they looking for in their clothes? Not only in the way it's made, but in the style and the comfort of it. It's very important today. So it's fun and it's exciting. I love working with people and hearing back from them and hearing their opinions of what our clothes can do for them.
Well, and I think there's a lot of changing conceptions of what clothing should be in a woman's life today. I mean, I see signs of it all the time, where things used to be very much like you had your work clothes and your casual clothes and the things you wore out at night. And now there's so many different ways that people live their lives that I think there's a lot of room for different types of brands to address different ways of having apparel fit into our day to day. So
yeah, for sure.
We're going to get into the media coaching piece of this conversation in a second. But before I do that, you know, I'd love to let listeners in on your background and your story. This is not your first fashion line. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you got started in fashion and what you were doing before setting out to bring Sixchel into the world?
Well, I studied costume design at the University of Texas, and then I studied fashion design at the Academy of Art University. And I always wanted, or I guess I should say, I always felt that women's clothes represented who or what they were feeling for that day, which kind of combines the costume design world with the fashion design world. And I wanted to make clothes for women that were comfortable and stylish. You know, when you're a college student, and especially living in Austin, it's like flip-flops and t-shirts and jean shorts was the key thing to wear. So, you know, we've kind of got a bad rep on people that don't know how to dress who live in Austin. And it just wasn't the case. I felt that there's a middle ground. You can look stylish and feel comfortable at the same time. So that was always the goal. And then I started working under my own name. I use that as a label, just trying to test out the market and learning more what it was that women wanted, or the way that they felt in certain garments and style and cut of the clothes. So I made mostly custom clothes, which helped me learn more about the female body. That might sound a little bit weird, but our shape of our body is so different, and we've got so used to, you know, manufactured and basic style clothes or shapes of clothes that we forget about our femininity. And I really wanted to find a style and ways to do that. So along this journey that I was doing with my label, I thought that I knew exactly where I was and what I wanted, and things were going good and I was doing fairly well. And then, you know, life happens and I had to regroup and figure out what I was going to do after certain things happen.
Well, I can tell you're getting emotional. And I mean, I know a little bit of your story. Are you comfortable sharing?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunately a very common story, but my sister was diagnosed with cancer at a very young age. It's been 4 years since she has passed, and it takes your life and it turns it inside out. So as this is going on, you have the decision of always wanted to have my own line. I had a goal. I knew what I was going to do. I had figured it out, you know, my 5-year business plan. And then this happened. So yeah, I had to rearrange and figure out, well, now what? And while we were going through that, a lot of people would say, your sister was very proud of what you were doing and she would want you to continue. So I knew that that was going to happen. I wasn't going to change my career for, you know, anything that any unfortunate, you know, things that happen in your life. So I also knew she got treated at MD Anderson. And there's just a wealth of information there about cancer. And you start hearing about, you know, chemicals and toxins, and it's in water and it's in the environment. And it's just a mix of different things. It's the food that you eat. And when you work in the fashion industry and you study fashion and you know about the industry and the toxins that it creates, you have to become responsible and say, I can't add to that. And that's what I did. And that's the main purpose why I want it to be a sustainable brand. And I want it to be made in America because I believe in that. I believe we have good sew shops and factories here and workers here that can make beautiful garments. So I put that together and I decided to relaunch. So that's where I am now.
Well, thank you for bringing that into the conversation. And I know this is not easy stuff to talk about, especially as it relates to your business, because it's so personal, you know, and like you said, life happens and it's can be overwhelming even 4 years later. I feel like, will you tell us your sister's name? Because I feel like she's such an important part of the story that I want to.
Yeah. Her name is Erica.
So Erica, yeah. You know, I feel like Erica is a huge part of what this brand is. And I know that, you know, you don't want to make the whole story about your sister because that can feel strange, you know, but at the same time, you know, I hope that we can all just have a minute as we're listening and give a little mental tribute to her for making something like this happen, you know. And I'm very impressed that you took something that happened in your own life and you're really letting it redirect everything for you in a positive and different direction.
Yeah, well, I'm not that old, but I'm not that young either. And that's what I have learned, is that you, in anything that you do, in your job, in your life, and anything that what you're doing, you have to be able to turn the bad into something good. Everybody has their conflicts that are going to come up and their obstacles in their life, whatever it may be. You just have to keep going on. And so this is one way of doing it. And it's fun and I like it. I enjoy it.
Well, and I don't know if there's any part of you that feels this, but it is an interesting way of keeping a memory alive and paying tribute to an experience that was, you know, painful and tragic, but giving it a bit of a ongoing life. And I mean, I don't know. I haven't been through your experience, so I don't know if that rings true at all. But I just, as I'm thinking about it, there's something really inspiring to me. So
yeah, well, it is because she was my only sister, and she was always very supportive. So it is. It's kind of something that we're sharing together, if that makes any sense. But yeah, it's a little bit more special. It's more personal and it's from the heart. It honestly is.
Okay, so let's talk about where you are with this. And I know that you're coming out with a crowdfunding campaign this spring and this year. So listeners know, I've gotten to know a little bit about Dina's line and her business and what she's working on these days, because she is a founding member of Prestope. And it's been so awesome to get to know more about you. But for people that don't know everything that I know, can you bring us up to speed? Like, where are you with this? Where are you in the life of your brand?
We just created our first sustainable collection, and it is a capsule collection. It consists of one dress, two tops, and a pair of pants, and it'll be available in a few fabric options. We do have vegan leather, which I'm very excited about. And we are going to be launching our capsule collection in a few weeks, and probably around in May is when that's our goal date to launch. And each piece will be available for pre-order on Kickstarter once we do launch and go live. And, you know, we'll go from there. From there, we hope to grow into a full collection. But what's unique about this is that you'll be able to pre-order the clothes. So it's being created with a slow fashion platform, which is a way to reduce waste in the fashion industry. And it's really neat because you get to see the clothes before you order it. And you have the option of choosing what it is that you want from the collection. You could buy the whole collection.
It's making perfect sense, which is that you are setting this up so that people can see it first and then they can buy what they want, and then it's made based on the orders, and then that is going to enable you to do slow fashion in a sense, because you're not producing more than people need.
What is it? Right, exactly. So it's environmentally friendly, and it's a new way that fashion should be sold. And we're very excited for the designers who are working through this new slow fashion movement. It's very exciting. You're actually getting a piece that's being designed more for you than for the general public. And if you like it, come and buy it. And there's just an abundance of it. It's a little bit more unique and a little bit more special. And it's made with a little bit more precision. And I kind of feel that Made in America products if they're made in the right factories here, is a form of luxury. And it's neat that this is an option for us at not a very high cost either. So it's good. You're able to buy clothes that have a purpose. You're not just buying for a trend. You're buying more for a personal style for, you know, it has a purpose.
Well, and it seems like it's sort of intentional, right? I mean, it's being bought to be worn and you're waiting for it to come to you and you've thought about that and hopefully you know how it's going to fit into your wardrobe, but it's not just something you've, as you're walking through some sort of big store and you just feel this weird FOMO, like if you don't buy something, you're going to feel bad about your day and you just grab right. something and then it falls apart. I mean, it's a whole different way of looking at how clothes fit into your life, I think.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Yes.
Okay. So you're doing this crowdfunding campaign. There'll be the capsule collection to start with the crowdfunding campaign. And then just in general, what are your top two business goals right now?
Right now, well, our main goal and our first goal is to have a successful Kickstarter campaign and launch. So after we accomplish that, then we are setting. So the next goal would be to continue, of course, to have great collections, a good cost made in America with sustainable fabrics and becoming more eco-friendly. As I said in the beginning, you know, we're still growing, we're still learning, and that's something that we would like to do. But the ultimate goal is to have a brick and mortar and to have other sustainable brands available for purchase, not only mine, but others that are here that are made, you know, either in America or under fair trade manufacturers across the world.
So you not only want to have your own sort of house brand, but you want to build this into a larger retail entity where people that are shopping for this type of clothing or they're shopping in this way with more sort of intentional approach to it, they can come to you and find an array of different items.
Yes. And, you know, there's going to be more options and that in essence, it's going to help and grow slow designers who are part of the slow fashion movement. You know, we're kind of helping each other out in that way. It's really neat. So yeah, that's the ultimate goal.
I love what you're pointing out, which is the collaborative nature of a lot of this, because, you know, fashion has for so long been very exclusive and, you know, every man for himself kind of thing. And now I see a lot of brands doing, I mean, you're not saying, well, I'm going to have my Six Chell label. And then if I was to ever bring anybody else into my retail space, that would be competition. You're saying actually the way to move forward with this is to band together with other people. And I think it's very smart, and I think it's very very much what is happening, and it's going to be, we're going to be seeing much more of it in the next year or two, I think. Okay, so those are your goals. Kickstarter, mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds to me like the key business goal here right now is to get this Kickstarter campaign funded.
Yes.
Okay. So to do that, you need to have more people being aware of the campaign and mm-hmm. also of your brand and hopefully getting on your mailing list and funding it and participating with you in any way that they can, social media, whatever it is, right?
Right.
So how do you think that earned media, so that being different from paid media or boosting social media posts or advertising, how do you think that earned media can help you?
I think it'll help expand the story of Six Chell and our goals. I keep going back to our brand being a collaborative brand, or we want to be open to our consumer and inviting and having them go through the process with us. So earned media is just one way to do that for sure, is to open up the conversation and to show or to explain more or express more of what our mission is and our goal as a brand, as a fashion brand with a purpose is.
Well, I love that you answered that question with the story, because a lot of times people will answer the question with, well, we want more people to know about us so they'll buy more stuff. And we, you know, I mean, it's ultimately, obviously every business, the sales and the profits are you know, I mean, you wouldn't have a business without them. But media is best at telling stories. And you have an amazing story. I mean, you just told us it, like, I'm sure has brought people listening to tears. So, you know, I think there's a good fit there to begin with, which is one of the reasons that I was excited to have you on this type of show. But I do think we need to talk a little bit about how you're presenting your story. So I hope you won't mind me saying this, but so we were emailing back and forth about this conversation, and can I read what you said to me that the story is?
Sure.
Okay. So you said, Six Chell is fashion for the modern woman, meaning we are comfortable to wear, slow fashion for uniqueness, sustainable and made in the USA, We are clothed with a purpose for the progressive, strong, and bold woman. Okay, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that statement, but that statement is not going to bring me to tears. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to sum up to me why I cannot like go 5 more minutes in my life without checking out your Kickstarter. So I bring that up because I know like some people don't have any real substantive story or mission or founder journey that they've been through to bring to the table. And that's fine if they don't. And then it becomes a process of branding and getting creative. And, you know, they probably have other strengths. But one thing that you have that not everybody has here is that you do have a really strong story about how you arrived to where you arrived. And it's very meaningful. And I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to it. So I guess I'm curious how comfortable you are with talking about your sister or your, you know, you were doing one thing and life shifted and now you're doing this kind of path. Is that something that you're willing to put into, you know, the conversation as you're introducing people to Six Chell?
Yeah, I am comfortable with it at that level. And mainly for the purpose that I believe that there are many people who probably have this has happened to them or something similar, you know, just in listening to certain other podcasts that I've listened to, not only yours and another one that I listened to, but it seems like it's fairly common. It's like something happens and then your journey changes and that's the direction and you figure out what it is that you want to do. So yeah, I feel comfortable with talking about that.
Well, I wanted to be careful about asking you about it because I think that there can be sometimes emotionally for people a fine line between telling your story and then feeling like you're exploiting a personal experience for a business purpose. And,
yeah.
You know, I would never. And then it's not even just you. It's like your whole family and people in your community. And I think that as a founder and entrepreneur, you have to be respectful of all of those feelings and all of those things that are happening externally. But then, you know, I just want to reflect to you from the media standpoint that mm-hmm. if I received an email pitch and it was, hi, I'm reaching out to you. I wanted to let you know about this new brand. And on the surface, it's fashion, but really it's about a lot more. 4 years ago, I was building this brand and then a family tragedy occurred and it completely changed my perspective on how apparel should fit into our lives. I mean, that's like a complete like high level, like not worded well at all. But and I knew that there was this really personal reason for the mission. To me as a writer, and I think many journalists would agree, I mean, all of a sudden that becomes the jumping off point for making the story relatable to a really wide variety of people. And then also media people who cover fashion, especially or consumer products, they love it when they can find an entry point into a story that is not frivolous and all about buying, 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 because they're aware of how much of a turnoff that is to so many people out there. Mm-hmm. And it really brings the idea of purchasing and of clothing and fashion into this more meaningful realm that I think so many people in the media are searching for, because they feel that people have that meaningful connection, but they don't have a good story to kind of create that connection for their audience. And they're always looking for new ways to do that. So and it's a really long-winded way of saying that I think it's going to benefit you when you pitch to just be as open. I think you have to think of it like, I'm being as open as I can about my story, as open as I can within my own comfort zone, and just letting people into that, because I think it's going to be something that makes you really relatable. And also it's going to be, it's, I mean, it's just like it's a whole narrative story right there. I mean, it's like the reporter doesn't have to really do that much work because they have this amazing story to tell. And that's what a lot of times is a struggle for media. They're like, hey, cool product, beautiful pictures, but like, why am I even telling this story? What's the bigger why? So just know that you bring that to the table with this. So that being said, I mean, you're willing to talk about the personal side. Can we talk a little bit more about the product side? You are kind of ticking off things that a lot of people are interested in today. So slow fashion, ethical production, made in the USA. What I would love, you know, from a media standpoint, if you were pitching me, is to have a couple of very specific things that are different about your brand that will alert me really quickly to the type of person that would buy it or what the aesthetic is, or I want to have something that immediately differentiates you in my mind from any other brand that is in this fest space? I mean, let me ask you some questions to do that. I mean, maybe you can tell me what those things are, but is it like, let's see, could we say anything like, is there any aspect where it's made to order?
Well, yes.
I mean, like if I'm buying from you, am I able to say anything like, well, I want the inseam to be this versus this? I mean, is there any customization to it at all?
No. The thing is that the customers that are in the Austin area, I do offer that, but not on a wide scale. So no.
Okay. But see, so here's the thing, like you're not offering it to people who live outside the Austin area, but you are. So the fact that you're willing to do it for people within your geographic region, that's notable, even if that's not really the point of the brand or the thing that you think most of your sales are going to come from. It's kind of cool to be able to put in, you know, there's a bespoke quality to it. And, you know, you can say something if you're pitching local press, like, people in the Austin area, I mean, I don't know, whatever. Don't take what's coming out of my mouth as anything that you should repeat without reworking the language significantly. But we continue our slow fashion principles and hopes of getting women in clothing that they'll love for years by opening our studio to Austin residents and visitors to the area who want to have customized sessions with Dina. You know, I mean, you can kind of spin it like, it's a special thing to come in and have a custom session with you and get this beautiful bespoke piece of clothing. And then, yes, I mean, the capsule collection is there as well. And so I just think the little details like that sometimes flesh out the story in an interesting way. So what about the colors and sort of your aesthetic in general? Like, do you consider your clothing to be like whimsical, or is it for a woman that's really like power professional, or where would you see your ideal customer wearing your pieces?
I think aesthetically, I feel that our style and our look is a mix of femininity and strength. For example, if you see the dress, you know, the fabric is thin weight, it moves with ease, and it clings a little bit to your form, but it has strong shoulders, and it has you could tie a bow in the back behind the neck. But at the same time, that bow is made out of vegan leather. So that's the strength and for just the position with the femininity of it. So that's part of the uniqueness, is that the style and the designs have a bit of those detail points or elements in the style of it. So, I mean, it just looks like a shift dress, but it's not. The detail in it has the femininity and the strength added to it. So that's why it's more, the style and the look is more for a woman who is into progression and modernism and who goes from day to night, and they can do it in ease. I would say it's a little bit transitional, maybe.
So as I'm hearing you talk,
okay.
And I love that dress, by the way, and the like sleeves / shoulders. I'm not sure what the technical term is because they're kind of in between, but like it's such a cool shape. So people are listening, you have to go check out what these look like on Kickstarter. But so Dina, like as you're talking, I'm hearing like just kind of like you are, these clothes are a bit of a study in contrast, right? I mean, there's the femininity there and the softness, but then there's this tough, like hard as nails side of it too. And I mean, I think that came out in how you were talking about how you got to this brand in the first place. Like it's coming from the heart, but there's also, I get a sense from you of like, you're kind of a fighter survivor. Like I'm going to make this work no matter what I do. And I think that's coming through in your clothes as well. Like I just keep going back to this study in contrast. And what also pops into my head is that, you know, for so many women today, that's what we're up against, is that we're being asked to be the heart of a relationship or of a family and connectors of people and collaborators. But then we also have to be really tough and stand up for ourselves and all of this stuff. And so I see that. I think if you kind of paint a picture like that for people about how your clothes fit into the modern life of a woman and how we're faced with all these different things, then that's something that really feels universal too.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if that feels at all comfortable. I'm kind of just riffing here, but like,
it does actually. And it's true. I mean, I haven't necessarily seen it within myself, but with other people and other women that I've worked with or have some connection with, networking with, or, you know, even my friends that I'm in contact with on a daily basis, it is where, you know, today's woman is doing a lot of stuff. And I think we're becoming more opinionated, and that's not being taken very well in certain realms. But, you know, we are standing up, and we're wives, and we're mothers, and we're working, and we're taking care of our family, and we're taking care of this, and we're doing so many things. And it is new. It is modern. There's a little bit of it, I think, in the 80s that I kind of saw or felt growing up, but now it's more common, but I don't think a lot of people talk about it.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I think when it comes down to the exact language with all this stuff, as you're working through pitching and, you know, you and I can hop into PressDope and talk about how to exactly do the wording. But one thing I want to say is I feel like it's always really important with this stuff, like pitching people and getting your media messaging is oftentimes a little bit of a psychological endeavor too. And I mean, I didn't know you at all. Like we had never even communicated, I don't think, before we started working together inside of PressDope. And what I've noticed about you is that you are hands down, one of the members that is, you're just in it every day. Like you're very persistent and tenacious, and like not everybody has that, but then you're also really soft spoken in a way. And so I think that it's good to sometimes have somebody, like, I'm just taking this upon myself to do it right now. You didn't ask me, but to give you like that reflection, like that mirror, and say, okay, like these are some things I'm noticing. I'm basically a total stranger in many ways. And here, like, let me give you that information back, because maybe it can help you figure out how to talk about yourself, because chances are, if I'm seeing that other people are going to see it too.
Well, thank you. It's nice to hear. Yeah.
Well, sorry. I mean, I didn't mean okay. to like just like pounce on you with my, you know, psychological takedown, but I do think that stuff is important. And I want to underscore it for you that I think that so much of the media outreach you're going to do is this trick of how are you going to tell your story that's already there? How are you going to present yourself to people so that they're intrigued in a way that's authentic? And also draw it back to the clothes. So the clothes are about something more meaningful than just shopping. And I think that you have all of those elements there. Talk to me a little bit about the practical side of this stuff. How much of your messaging have you written for, say, your Kickstarter campaign materials and page, and then also for like emails and pitches that you're going to do?
Well, I have everything written out. And the thing is it does take me a while to get exactly what I want to say with the wording. That's not my forte. So, you know, I have everything set up. And it's with the idea that it's going to change. And it has been since I've, you know, started working with Factory 45 and Shannon, and we started doing small things like the landing page and just our social media account and getting our media kit ready. I have things written out. I have the idea that I want, but yeah, it needs tweaking. So it's been changing throughout the months, and it's going to change as, you know, I develop, but I feel that going through the sessions that I have with you, I'm getting closer to narrowing down exactly what it is that I want to say. I'm getting closer to the words that I want to represent my brand, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I don't think that you need to think of it like, here is the about us paragraph that will be carved into stone and I will never be able, you know, what you go out with might be tweaked from week to week. And you will no doubt think differently about how you want to talk about Sixchell in 3 months, in 6 months, you know, in a year from how you're thinking about it now. So you have to let yourself have the freedom to just know that it's going to shift and change over time. But I think that as you're moving towards this launch and in terms of next steps, because I want to make sure that during the conversation, I mean, it's all well and good for us to have all of these sort of higher level talks, but you have to have, okay, here are three things I'm going to do after this. And they're really going to push me forward. Do you think that you can get that about Sixchell paragraph down like in the next 7 days?
Yes.
So I would encourage you to do that and then okay. post it so that I can react. And then not just me, I mean, I would encourage you to show it to a number of people. And I love that you're in Factory 45. I'm a huge fan of Shannon and the work that they do with brands there as well.
Yeah, I love it. She's wonderful, and it still is a great experience. So yeah.
Yeah. So for listeners, if you don't know about Factory 45, we'll put a link in the show notes. You should definitely check them out. They do work with brands that want to launch sustainable clothing lines made in the USA. And then also they do a specific course where they help you with a crowdfunding campaign. So there's two different things, and they're both great. And I encourage you to check them out. And so we'll put a link there. So if you're working on that, paragraph is one next step. Give me another area where you think you really need to make a move with your media outreach. How is your media list stuff going?
Media list is growing. I probably this week should revise it, but I think I have about 40 people written down on my media list.
Okay.
I probably could go through it and take some out, but I'm just keeping media for, you know, right now and then for the foreseeable future, and just really trying to make contacts with them through social media. So the media list is going well.
So I would say maybe for step two, if step one is a session on your messaging, your core messaging, like the how you're going to talk about your brand, bullet points or a paragraph or however you want to do it. If that's step one, then step two would be updating your media list. And, you know, if there are any stories that you've seen, and I don't know if you monitor media through something like Google Alerts or some people use Pocket, but even if you don't do that, now might be a good time to go out and do some searches for crowdfunding campaigns that, you know, have feature ethical brands, and then look at who has written about them and start to maybe add. I mean, if you could have a goal of adding like three people that have written about a crowdfunding campaign recently that seem like they might be good targets for you, then I think that would be time really well spent, because there are some people that specifically like to cover campaigns that are in progress, and those would be great people for you to have on your radar as you're going out with your campaign launch. Because, you know, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before, there's some people on your media list who there's no way they're going to write about you until they see what the outcome of the campaign is.
Yeah.
And it's good to keep in touch with them and have them sort of in your orbit and be networking, but they're not going to be a great source of coverage until you get to the end of it. But there are people that do like to write about this stuff as it's in progress or before it happens. So how does that sound? Trying to maybe have the goal of finding three interesting people that have written about it in progress campaign.
Yeah, for sure. I do that this week too.
Okay. And so then I want to leave you with three things to work on after the call today. What else is on your mind? Because I know I can come up with something, but let me kick it back to you. What else are you struggling with, or how else can I help you?
I can't say, because honestly, what's really in it, has been bothering me is my about story and my mission statement, all of that. I don't feel comfortable with what I have right now, and I have been working on it. So I think once I do that and get that out of the way, I don't know if something else will come up, because that is what I have, you know.
It's kind of like until that gets done, your mind isn't going to be thinking about the other stuff that comes next.
Yeah, because I mean, I have reached out to a few media people, bloggers and journalists, and I have gotten some responses, but I don't know if I did post that on Press Dope, so I don't know if you want to discuss that. I think that's the only other thing that I feel like I need help with right now.
What I would say is I think this about is very important, like getting this messaging down. And I'm wondering, I mean, as you were talking, the question I wanted to ask you is, do you think you're being held back at all by thinking of it in terms of this nice, eloquent, elegant paragraph that needs to exist? I mean, you know, sometimes people have more luck when they're, say, telling their brand story in bullet points, or they just have like, for example, we have a manifesto on Press Dope, and it's not a big paragraph. It's like, we believe this, this, and that, you know, I mean, it's like a series of statements. And then, you know, you could also have it be a video where you're talking. I mean, I don't want you to feel limited by what everybody else does, because sometimes that is just like square peg, round hole. I mean, it's just not a good fit. So you have to kind of figure out what is going to be the great storytelling medium for you. You know, is it images with little phrases? And you're just going to say, you know what, I'm going to stop trying to do this paragraph thing because it's just not working for me.
Okay. You know, I think, yeah, that does have something to do with it. And this was something that I would talk to Shannon about. I feel like I could, because I am a visual person, more of an artistic person than someone who could, you know, who writes a lot. I don't think it's been hard for me to figure out my voice. I feel like if I'm going to write something, it's going to sound like a report and not like I'm having a conversation with you, which is what I would like for it to sound like. But I haven't been able to find the way to say it. So yeah, you know, if I start brainstorming different ways to explain or talk about my brand story, that will help.
Well, and you know, sometimes people, I've seen people handle it in creative ways, like they don't do a paragraph, they have a timeline. Can you illustrate or sketch? Well,
I used to. Now it's just fashion drawing, but yeah, I mean, oh, that would be cute, actually.
I mean, like, if you had like a series of sketches of some kind, and then instead of writing a paragraph, it was like, even if it was just a phrase, like started line in what, I mean, like I said, don't use these words or anything, but started line this year, was happy, continued, and then life happens, totally new perspective on life, realized that the brand I wanted to create had to be, and then you write like the core principles, like sustainable, made in the USA, in line with my values, you know, but you're like having like pictures, and then it's just kind of like that whole thing tells the story. And if people want to ask you about it when they interview you, fine, you can tell them more. But, you know, it's not this dry, like, Gina Chavez is the founder of such and such, and it just doesn't fit you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would just encourage you to think differently about it, because I'm sensing, like, I know we've kind of gone back and forth about this a couple of times, or how to talk about your brand has come up between us. And I'm sensing that maybe telling it in a different way is going to be the key to getting past that.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to work on that for sure. And I think it is going to help for sure. I'll get creative and see. It'll be fun.
I'm like, don't sound too excited. You're like, it's
going to be great. I'm already thinking. So I'm already, my brain's already going. I'm trying to writing down. I don't want to lose my ideas and then see what I come up with.
I'll give you the recording of this before the show airs. Okay. I'll give it to you like today or tomorrow. And so if you want to listen back to it, if that's of help at all, you can do that. So, well, we're coming up on the end of the show, and I have a couple of questions that I always ask everybody, and I'm excited to ask you. But before I do that, is there anything else you want to ask or that I can bring into the media strategy part of our conversation?
Honestly, no, I feel really good. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, so are there any tech tools, apps, books, resources, or just a really great low-tech piece of advice that's helped you kick ass in your day-to-day life that you think would help listeners kick more ass in their day-to-day lives?
There are a few, and they're very generic because I'm not a tech-savvy person right off the bat. So I'm learning a lot of new great tech services too. But you talked about it briefly, but Google Alerts is actually very good. I have found a few media sources through Google Alerts, and I have two set up under two different Gmail accounts, which helps. I also, Google Calendar has been saving my life lately. Without knowing, they send me updates. And then with the business, as I'm trying to create my customer list and trying to connect with them more, I've been using MailChimp, you know, to send little newsletters up to date, sending pictures behind the scenes of what Six Child's been doing. You know, that's something that I didn't know about at all. And it's fairly easy to use. I really like it, and it's really helped.
Okay, great. So we've got a shout for Google Alerts, Google Calendar, and MailChimp, all things that are great, great tools. You know, I should have asked you this in the beginning, but tell us, what does Sixchell mean? Tell us what the inspiration for the name is.
I wanted the name because I was using my name and I just didn't feel comfortable with it first at the beginning. So I wanted something that didn't have a real meaning and that's had a little French sound to it. But six is my astrological number. And Chell comes from the Mayan goddess Ixchel, who was in love with the sun god, and she wove a beautiful golden cloth, and that's what caught his attention. So yeah, I put together and came up with Sixchell.
Oh my so god. Okay. So if that is not part of your story, then I'm kicking you out of Presto. That's amazing. I love that. It's such a cool play on words, and it's like very unexpected, and it's very dreamy, and that's awesome.
I can't take credit for putting it together. My friend did, someone who I work with a lot. And she, so when I told her what I wanted and she put the words together, I said, oh yeah, I like it. That's the story of Sixchell.
Well, I love that. I love that. And I want that to become part of your brand story so badly. So you and I haven't hung out before, but if we were to hang out all day, what would I end up absolutely loving about you, and what would drive me insane?
You know, I don't know. I think I'm a pretty easygoing person. I'm not confrontational at all. And whatever you want to do, I'm up for doing. I'm pretty easygoing. So I think that probably would be, I mean, that's something that would be easy to like about me. I laugh a lot. That's another thing. But something that I think is a little, or might get under my friend's skin, is that I'm really bad with names. It's just something that I've always done. I've just come up with my own nicknames for people and for places. So if you ever need to know of a restaurant to go to, I don't know the real name of it. I don't know. And it's a really bad habit. I thought it was funny. And now as an adult and trying to become more professional, it's not. It's a habit that I need to break. But yeah, so I don't really know the name of a lot of people.
That's funny. Well, I struggle with that too. And I also struggle with just, it's like, can't pull the name out of the depths of my brain at a certain point when it's needed. And I'll be like, can we go to the thing? Like the you know, that place, the thing. I don't know what the name is. Like 10 minutes later, it'll come to me. So I hear you. If you had to print a phrase or a motto on a t-shirt and wear it for the next 7 days, what would it be?
And this is completely stealing from what is out there already, but it would be "She persisted." That's just my motto for this year, period. She persisted.
I think that's a wonderful motto to have. And I always close out by asking guests if you have a question you'd like to ask me. Anything silly, serious, I'll give you an honest answer.
Actually, I would like some of your tips on how you keep yourself so organized. I know that I know Spirit is 608 and Fest is not the only thing that you do. So how do you keep from going insane?
Well, I mean, I'm not that organized. I mean, some people that I know in my life who are very organized, Shannon of Factory 45 being one of them, they are like appalled at my lack of organization sometimes, but I have help. I mean, I try as much as I can to set up systems and to go through, and it's very annoying to put the work in sometimes to create a system because you feel like it's not the thing that is the most important that day. You know, if you're always kind of putting out fires and doing the most pressing thing first, you don't put aside time to actually streamline how everything in your business works. So that's one thing I would say, is to try to set aside some time and think about, well, what are the things I have to do regularly? Like, what buckets can I put them in? Well, is there anything I can do in this process to make it, you know, more efficient? And then sometimes you look at your little bullet points. Like, I'll look at something like, what are all the steps that need to take place to get a podcast from not existing at all to having been published and then marketed properly, right? So I could list out, say, like 50 different bullet points, just little things like getting the audio file into Dropbox and then moving it to here, like just get really, really granular. And then at that point, start marking out stuff that doesn't really need to happen. And then sticking to the process going forward. And I mean, full disclosure, I only did that kind of stuff when I started working with a virtual assistant, a VA, because I had to explain to somebody else how to help me. And you know, she wasn't inside my head. So I had to put all of these things down on paper and then show them to her. And she was kind of like, well, I don't know why, you know, I mean, she was not in a rude way, but she was kind of like, why are you doing this? This doesn't make any sense. So I think listing it all out and then sometimes getting somebody else, whether they're going to actually help you with it or not, like look at the process is really helpful, because sometimes other people just see a more efficient way to do something than you do. So there's that. And then I'm a big productivity tools nerd, I guess. I mean, there's many people out there that are much more productive than I am, but I live in like the fantasy world that I may someday become a very organized, productive person. And so as part of that, I love listening to people talk about how they streamline things. And I love checking out tools like, you know, the if this, then that type of stuff, or Zapier, things that connect tools in your life and will help you just cut out little steps that you're taking. So for example, like a really, and I know I'm totally rambling, but a really quick example would be, say you're using this tool Pocket to collect media mentions of a certain subject matter, and you are grabbing them online, you're putting them in your Pocket account. It's like a web extension thing. You click it and you tag it, and say you're tagging it sustainable fashion. Well, you can use an if this then that applet to automatically send all of those links, those stories that you're collecting in Pocket, to a Google spreadsheet, so that you can just check the spreadsheet once a week, and you could then start bringing those over to your media list because you're capturing those types of stories. And then you don't have to do that interim step of taking it, you know, from Pocket and putting it into a sheet, right? So, you know, I'm into stuff like that. And I think little things like that can just help you streamline and clear out your headspace and have more energy to focus on other things.
Yeah. Okay. I think, yeah. And that's definitely what I need to get used to, is using different apps and little devices to help.
And, you know, I mean, the apps thing, like I said, I kind of live in this fantasy that someday I'll be like super organized and productive. I think it's important not to get bogged down into using all these tools because you think it's going to change stuff. I mean, really, at the end of the day, the best thing that you can do is know the core buckets of work that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, have a system for yourself that works, and then not try to do too much, which I'm totally guilty of. And I personally need to stop and take my own advice, because you can't put too much on yourself or else you won't be able to do any of it well.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to this show today. It's been really great to get to talk to you and learn more about what you're working on. If people want to keep in touch with you and all of the great stuff you have coming out this year, what is the best way for them to find you and follow along online?
Well, you can go to my website, www.sixchelbydinachavez.com. And I'll spell it out, www.sixchelbydinachavez.com. And you can sign up to receive my newsletter to get information about our upcoming launch on Kickstarter, and to, you know, find out more about our story, our brand story, and to get, you know, images before our launch of our product, so you can start deciding on what you're going to purchase.
Nice. Well, thank you so much. And I wish you all the luck in the world. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Done and done. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Dina. And Dina, thank you so much for coming onto the show and sharing your story and being so open and letting us all into the real, you know, honest truth behind what you're going through right now. And I know that people listening are going to get a lot out of hearing your story. So thank you for that. And we will be cheering you on during the final weeks of your Kickstarter campaign. People want to support it, they can find a link in the show notes to this episode at spiritof608.com. Now, before I close out today's show, I wanted to tell you about the upcoming Prestope by Spirit of 608 workshop that we'll be doing in July. I will be out in San Francisco in the Bay Area for a couple of weeks this summer, and I've decided to host a workshop while I'm there. You can find out more about it at prestope.com/workshop. But before you head over there to check it out, let me warn you, this is not your average workshop. We're not going to just sit around and talk about stuff that you may or may not decide to implement in the future. No, this is a workshop for people who want to work, like get something done. Come. You're going to learn, you're going to fix something in your media strategy and maybe a larger part of your business. And then you're going to actually get down to brass tacks and finish action items, steps that you need to take to move your media strategy forward all in one day. Now, I could have done a much easier to implement evening type event that was an hour or two and talked about the things I talk about on PressDope.com and, you know, giving people sort of my basic boilerplate media advice and moved on. But I decided that I really want to work with a much smaller number of Fest founders who are really motivated. And I want to get in there and kind of like rip apart what they're doing. And, you know, it's basically like a live mastermind combined with an implementation workshop. So that is what we're going to do. And if you're interested, I hope that you will apply to be a part of this in July. It's happening just one day. And yes, I'm asking people to apply to the workshop because I don't want to have you come unless I am certain that I can help you and that the Prestope approach to media strategy and brand amplification can help you. So we're asking everyone who's interested to submit a short application. And if that sounds of interest and you are in the Bay Area, I hope that you will come check us out over at pressdope.com/workshop. Thank you for listening. And you know, you can always support us if you want to give us virtual high fives by subscribing, rating, or reviewing the Spirit of 608 podcast in iTunes, or just telling somebody cool to check out the show. And I hope you will join me next time for another conversation with a woman at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. As you know, I call it fast, and it's the future.